by Yahweh's Design, a two-seat-line Israelite ministry with Pastor Dan. Now here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome everybody to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 1 hour live radio program coming to you over the Heritage Broadcasting System. We welcome all of our kinsmen around the globe who are listening tonight via computers on the internet, over C-band satellite, FM radio thanks to our rebroadcasters, shortwave, and 4D TV channel 954. We ask Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, to bless each and every one of you. First and foremost, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. For all good things come from him, and we wish to give him all the praise, the glory, and the honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring his truth to his holy remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Covenant peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, praise Yahweh in Paleo-Hebrew. We are a two-seed line racial covenant identity ministry, and we've been studying this truth for a good number of years now. However, we at no time claim to be perfect. We therefore encourage your participation. Please have your pens and pencils handy as we give out phone numbers and other information during the hour. And remember, there is a severe famine in the land today, and that famine is for truth. Tonight's program is entitled The Real Africa. Our guest will be a good friend of General Ben Parton by the name of Peter Hannon from South Africa, and he'll be on the program here in just a few minutes.
Mr. Hannon is with us.
Okay, thank you. Before we get started, let me give a special thank you to the following contributors. Randall J. in Virginia, Chris and Kelly down in Tennessee, Charles R. in Georgia, Ed and Elaine in Florida, Glenn in Missouri, and Jimmy O. down there in Louisiana. So we want to say a hearty thank you to you folks and ask our Heavenly Father to bless you. We also want to convey the apologies of General Ben Parton. He just simply didn't get a chance to call in yesterday, and he sends his apologies, and we will reschedule him for two nights in a row, probably sometime next week, but I will let you know in advance when those days are. And again, General Parton sends his apologies for not being able to make it yesterday. However, he did provide us with tonight's guest, so we're very thankful for that. Also, I want to let you know that over the next week or so, I'll be very busy in and out of the office, and therefore there will be some guest hosts starting tomorrow night with Pastor Don Campbell from Minnesota filling in for me, and then Thursday and Friday, Mr. Jim Floyd from Alabama will be hosting the program. So if you hear somebody else's voice, you did not tune to the wrong channel, you're just hearing my fill-ins, my pitch hitters, while I'm away. We ask you to prayerfully consider supporting Heritage Broadcasting System that is bringing this and many other fine programs to you in an attempt to bring truth out today when the controlled media is doing everything it can to make sure you get nothing but propaganda. So please prayerfully consider supporting them. Now before we bring Mr. Hammond on, I would like to read one short verse. And this is a clue to you folks. We have an awful lot of chaos in this world today. And I think this one verse sums up what we need to be doing about it pretty well. And you go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, and it states, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." And in case nobody has noticed it, I do believe not only our land, but many of the lands in the world today need a serious dose of healing, and therefore I would highly encourage doing what that verse recommends, and that is returning from our wicked ways and return to our Father. So in the meantime, it is the 8th of May, year 2001. Our title tonight is The Real Africa. Our guest is Mr. Peter Hammond of Frontline Fellowship. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Good evening, Pastor John. How are you?
I'm doing just great. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Glad to be an American.
Now, we only spoke briefly earlier today. I know you're from Africa. You're from the Republic of South Africa, are you not?
Yes, sir. I was born and brought up in Africa. I am an African, born in South Africa, raised in Rhodesia, what is today communist Zimbabwe.
Oh, okay. And your organization that you're part of is called Frontline Fellowship, is that correct?
Yes. Frontline Fellowship is an indigenous African mission. We started 19 years ago, and for the last 19 years, we've been seeking to help persecuted churches and restricted access areas, evangelizing and discipling, doing a lot of leadership training and literature distribution throughout the war-torn areas of Mozambique and Angola, Rwanda, and Sudan.
Oh, my goodness, that's quite a bit of territory. Now, I believe you mentioned
that... To get to Sudan from South Africa, you've got to drive about 4,000 miles overland. That's about the distance from Miami, Florida to Anchorage, Alaska, and of course the roads are not comparable.
That's amazing. Now, I understand that the majority of the people in your frontline fellowship, are they military-trained people?
Yes. Most of the people, myself included, got our initial training in the Army, so we have people from a military background, a mission that's particularly geared to wanting to evangelize in war zones, and so we've given high priority to training chaplains and doing evangelism amongst soldiers and resistance fighters in these very vicious wars that are going on in Africa.
My goodness. Now, you had mentioned going to your website, so I didn't get a chance to call you back today, but I tried to go to your website and I could not get access to it, so I'm not sure what the problem is. Maybe it's just with my server here, but I'm going to give the website out to the folks listening, and maybe some of them can get to the website. His website is www.frontline, that's all together, frontline, frontline, .org/za, Zebra Alpha. Now, again, I could not get to it, so, Peter, I wasn't able to check on some of the stuff that you had talked about there, so I'm kind of shooting from the hip here. Now, your frontline fellowship, like you said, you're doing this work in Africa. One of the things that many of us here in America are interested in finding out about is what is really happening over in Africa. Could you go into that a little bit for us?
Yes, you know, so often people just know of Africa as a continent of conflict and turmoil and bad news and massacres. And of course, it's not an accurate perspective when all that you hear is distortion, such as that the Hutus and the Tutsis are killing one another again, and intertribal warfare and so on. It sounds all very meaningless and aimless and hopeless, but actually what is going on in Africa is this. The Church of Christ is growing in Africa faster than anywhere else in the world today. Africa is the second largest continent in the world after Asia. It's 20% of the world's land surface. You could put the USA, Alaska included, into Africa three times with still have space left over. It's a huge continent. It's a very unstable continent, it's true. And yet the church is growing, despite all the people being murdered and all the tremendous amount of persecution. The church is growing at 6 million people net gain every year. About 1,100 churches are planted every month. So what's going on in Africa is a tremendous spiritual harvest. And in the midst of this, there's a counterattack by the forces of evil, and you've got tremendous amount of anti-Christian persecution. So that in Angola, for example, when you hear about the violence there, that's communism persecuting the Christian church. In Rwanda, it was witchcraft, animist, communist government persecuting the Christian church. In Sudan, it's an Islamic government persecuting the church. But the common denominator throughout Africa, what's going on is you've got communism, Islam, or witchcraft, animism, persecuting the church. And so what's going on in Africa is not some meaningless, mindless tribal warfare. The cohesive answer to what's happening is the church is growing and anti-Christian ideologies are seeking to destroy the church.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Peter, that sounds a little bit like America today. It's not as blatant as it is in Africa at this point in time anyway, but there are some very strong forces in this country, in Canada, and I would even say in Europe, that are starting to mount their forces in an attack against all those who claim Christ as Savior. And again, it's not as bad as Africa, but I would say it's happening all over the world, not just Africa.
Yes, well, in Africa, we most certainly have Christians being targeted. For example, Sudan. Sudan's the largest country in Africa, and it's in a grip of the longest war of the 20th century. It started in 1955, and it's still going on today. In Sudan, the National Islamic Front government, which is Muslim, is declaring jihad, or holy war, against the Christian Black South, and they're bombing schools, churches, hospitals, marketplaces, civilian centers. Our mission base, which is one of the very few permanent mission bases in southern Sudan, our mission base has been bombed 9 times in the last year. So in a 12-month period, the governor of Sudan Air Force, using Antonovs and MiGs, has dropped about 100 bombs on the community, which includes our mission base, school, and church. And down the road, the only hospital in the whole province has been bombed 8 times. And there's been many churches bombed on Sunday mornings. For example, on Sunday the 7th of January, 5 separate churches were bombed simultaneously, including our own church and our mission base. And I've had, in the last 12 months, I've had two church services where I was preaching on a Sunday morning and interrupted by bombing, by Governor Sudan bombing the church during the Sunday morning service. Two other churches that I've ministered in were bombed on Christmas Day, during the Christmas Day morning worship. And so plainly the churches are being targeted for destruction. The government of Sudan calls it a holy war, at jihad.
Now, I've known some people that have tried to say that the trouble in Sudan was just a made-up story. There's not really that much trouble there. The stories about the people that are being enslaved is not true. So what you're saying is that it is true.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we've got the documentation on it. I've written the book Faith and Defiance Sudan with 140 photos, 7 maps, and a lot of eyewitness testimony in the 230 pages showing what's been going on in Sudan. And we took in the film crew from Jeremiah Films, and Jeremiah Films under Pat Matriciano made an excellent film, Sudan, the Hidden Holocaust, documenting the atrocities, interviewing the survivors and showing the destruction of churches and attacks on hospitals. And, you know, this video would be available if people phoned our 800 number in Arizona. They could order the book, the video, they could get the newsletters. We'll send documentation newsletters I've written, the Frontline Fellowship News, which includes a lot of photographs and details on the persecution of the church in Sudan. And while our website might be down today, it should be up and running again tomorrow, the frontline.org.za, that has got a lot of documentation, photographs, and reports. There is just no doubt, we're not the only mission saying this. Every Christian group that's working in Sudan will say the same thing. The Church of Christ is being deliberately targeted by the government of Sudan.
What is the toll-free number, Peter?
The toll-free number is 1-888-918-4100. So it's 1-888-918-4100. And you can ask for the Frontline Fellowship newsletter or Africa Pack, and we'll send a set of that. And they can also ask for, you know, what books and tapes are available. So you can do that, or of course check our website, frontline.org.za. And we'd be delighted to keep you informed. Our newsletter, if you want to get it by post, comes out about 3 or 4 times a year. And it's always packed full of first-hand eyewitness materials and photographs, so we can give people first-hand material on how the church is not just surviving, but actually thriving and flourishing under the persecution in Sudan. I mean, make no mistake, it's not just a catalog of woes. God is doing a work of grace in Sudan and even winning some of their persecutors to Christ.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, we get a lot of propaganda here when the Republic of South Africa was taken over by the ANC and the communists. Could you give us a little rundown of what really happened over there during that period of time and what's happened there since?
Yes, well, you know, many people have written and said a lot of nonsense and lies about the situation in South Africa. We see it very differently, having lived there through the whole thing. South Africa had a history of racial discrimination, the good fences make good neighbors kind of policy, which in fact we inherited from the British. South Africa only got independent from Britain and the British Commonwealth in 1960, and So it seems a bit unfair that we are blamed for the racial problems basically our country inherited. But our country did work to get rid of it. And I would say that U.S. sanctions and the African National Congress's violence did not hasten, far from it. It slowed down and delayed. It retarded the reform of getting rid of these racial discrimination policies. But South Africa would have been a free country of all discrimination long before it was if we hadn't been targeted by terrorism from Marxist terrorist groups and sanctions by, in particular, the U.S. and the U.N. But all the same, through inordinate pressure from the United States State Department, the United Nations, and so on, South Africa did hand over ultimately to a Marxist revolutionary group, the African National Congress. And the ANC, since they came to power, have done some extraordinarily bad things. They've legalized abortion. Now, abortion was always illegal in South Africa, and now, under Nelson Mandela, it was made legal, and killing of babies has been legal for the last 4 years. Pornography was always illegal, but now it is legal. Prostitution, homosexuality was illegal in the past, but now it has been legalized by the African National Congress. So we've gone through a moral revolution in the last few years, and now we've got a government trying to disarm the citizens, taking away ability for law-abiding citizens to defend themselves by restricting and confiscating firearms. So the African National Congress is showing some very disturbing tendencies, quite aside from the fact we've had a massive crime explosion. People are being murdered at a rate of 3 to 4 times more than they were 20 years ago. And we've had, since the death penalty was abolished for murderers, we've had 200,000 people murdered. So while murderers aren't being executed, murderers have not suspended killing innocent civilians. And 25,000 people killed a year in our country under the ANC. So some terrible things are taking place, and I'm amazed that many people think that South Africa received any kind of freedom under the ANC, because the ANC's friends are not the friends of freedom. Their friends are Yasser Arafat, Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, Fidel Castro, you know, mass murderers and thugs like al-Bashir, the dictator of Sudan.
Well, one of the things I was amazed about, Peter, during that period of time is the fact the media was constantly telling us here in the United States about how bad it was under the apartheid of white rule in South Africa, and yet, as you said, as far as a Christian country, it was certainly more Christ-like under the white rule of South Africa prior to the ANC coming to power. Now, with the ANC in there, South Africa resembles all the other communist nations where everything that is godly is outlawed, and everything that is ungodly is okay to do, and crime is just going through the roof. And now the media here in this country doesn't say a word about that. The major media just completely ignores this total breakdown of society over there, and yet before the communists took over, South Africa was in the paper every single day.
Well, absolutely. It's very unbalanced, and it makes you wonder about what's the agenda of those people who are promoting the changes in South Africa, because you're quite right. Back in the days when South Africa was meant to be a vicious, racist regime, we had 3 million black people pouring into the country every year. I mean, coming into the country, coming in illegally many times as migrant workers or illegal aliens or refugees from neighboring countries that were meant to be free, like Mozambique. And, you know, you don't see people fleeing into Cuba. You don't see people fleeing by the millions into Iraq. You see them fleeing out of Cuba, not in. And South Africa never had people fleeing out of it in any great numbers. But it does have a vast amount of millions upon millions of people who fled into the country. So, you know, the stereotype of South Africa being some kind of vicious, horrible place where black people didn't want to live doesn't measure up to the fact that it's the destination of choice for black people from around the continent and has been for many decades.
Absolutely, you're right. The facts just don't match up with what the media tells us, and that's one of the points we try to bring out on this program, is that especially in the United States, if you watch and listen to the major media, we get nothing but propaganda. We don't really get the news, because South Africa, if you look at all the statistics, was a much happier, much more productive, a much safer society, even under apartheid, for both white and black than it is today under the communists, and yet the media doesn't say a word about it here. My personal opinion is it's because the communists run the media.
Well, absolutely, and I mean, you know, just look at the fact that if people really are concerned for human rights and for the welfare of black people in Africa, then why aren't they giving the same amount of attention to Sudan today, which they gave to South Africa back then? Because, let's face it, in Sudan you've got slavery, not just separate beaches and separate cinemas like South Africa had. We've got slavery, people having their hands and feet amputated, people being crucified, black Christians being crucified by the Muslim government of Sudan. You've got the Supreme Court of Sudan decreeing that crucifixion of apostates, in other words, Muslims who convert to Christianity, is constitutional. Now, in a country like Sudan where they've killed 2 million people, mostly black Christians in the south, where they've got 1 million black Nubians in concentration camps in the center, where they've got hundreds of thousands of people enslaved, you would think that that would warrant a little bit of attention on the campuses and on the newspapers and the TV screens that were so outraged about South Africa's separate voters' rolls and separate residential areas. And yet, somehow or another, the genocide and slavery in Sudan merits much less attention than the racial discrimination in South Africa in the past.
Well, I agree, Peter. The media has an agenda in this country. It becomes more and more obvious every day. They are leftist communists, and that's obvious to me and everybody that I know. Many people are starting to wake up to that when they find out more about the truth of South Africa and Rhodesia, when they find out the truth about what's going on in Europe, and the fact of, for instance, excuse me, it's come out recently that slavery, particularly the prostitution of white women from Europe in Israel, has been going on since 1948. It is legal in Israel, and not one news agency has covered a single story in the major media about the enslavement and prostitution of these women being falsely brought into the country and held there against their will, and it's all totally legal in Israel, and yet the media doesn't touch it. So the media has certain darlings and sacred cows that it will never tell you anything bad about, and yet there are some countries that they'll never tell you anything good about, which in this case was South Africa under white rule, and now you don't hear anything bad about it under the black communist rule.
Yes, well, in fact, it's not really black rule, it's red rule, and that's the point, that the people who suffer the most in each of these cases are the black people. The black people are being persecuted and oppressed by these communist or, in other cases, Muslim governments in Africa. And, you know, that's what's going on in Sudan. The government of Sudan, the National Islamic Front government, is Arab. And they've got a policy of Arabization and Islamization. Everyone must become an Arab and everyone must be Islamic. And the only language that they want is Arabic. And so with these twin policies of Arabization, Islamization, they're doing forced removals, they're doing scorched earth policies, that enforced conversions at the point of the sword, and they are literally mutilating, amputating, crucifying, and driving into exile millions of black Christian people. And what's going on in Sudan is probably one of the worst human rights abuses anywhere in the world today. And somehow or another, people like Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson could visit Africa, even visit Sudan, as guests of the slave traders and mass murdering dictators in the capital of Khartoum, a city built upon slavery and ivory, literally. And they will happily be guests of the oppressors, the exploiters, the slave traders, and they won't speak up for the black Christians who are being enslaved and mass murdered. So one begins to wonder about their sincerity when they claim that they're concerned for the oppressed and the poor and the black people.
Yeah, I believe the term that applies is hypocrisy. We have to go to break right now, Peter, so just hang tight there for a few minutes and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Did you miss a program by one of your favorite broadcasters? Wish to obtain copies of interesting programs to add to your library? Steve Melching offers quality copies of all programs heard on the Heritage Broadcasting System. Audio cassette tapes, only $10. Standard CDs, only $15 each. And now Steve is offering 5 shows. That's Monday through Friday programming on encoded crystal clear audio MP3 CDs for only $20 plus shipping. To order, call Steve Melching at 219-356-2611. That's 219-356-2611.
The law is the weapon, the courtroom the battlefield, the judge is your enemy, your lawyer is an enemy spy. Michael H. Brown, author of Brown's Lawsuit Cookbook, the Erwin Rommel School of Law, and Criminal Defendant's Bible, will be conducting his famous 2-day legal seminar on June 23rd and 24th in Springfield, Missouri. Take advantage of Michael H. Brown's 25-year pro se career and let him show you truly what works in our corrupt courts. To quote Michael H. Brown, it's not what you don't know that hurts you, it's what you know that ain't so. This 2-day seminar, including the workbook, is $300. For registration, call Dr. Paul Collins at 417-886-0223. Attending Mike H. Brown's 2-day legal seminar is a must for all pro se litigants. That's 417-886-0223.
Vitamin toothpaste and mouthwash. No fluoride. No Nutrisweet. No sugar. No aspartame. No animal products. No bad stuff. Just good, healthy toothpaste and mouthwash.
And it tastes good, too.
Call 888-558-8482 for a distributor near you. That's 888-558-8482.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with your host, Pastor Dan. Now here's your host.
Welcome back, everybody. And again, it's the 8th of May, year 2001. Our title tonight is The Real Africa. Our guest is Mr. Peter Hammond from the Republic of South Africa, who is with Frontline Fellowship, a Christian organization in Africa that's been there for 19 years doing work. Many times in areas where it's not so pleasant to work. There's a lot of anti-Christian, anti-Christ activity in that continent, as there is everywhere today, it seems like. I'll give you their website if you'd like to go to get some more information. And that's frontline.org/ZA, Zebra Alpha. And again, I believe it's down today. It should be up tomorrow. Also, Peter says that if you call this toll-free number, they've got some information there. You can ask about their newsletter and videos and other information. I believe one of the items you can ask for is called the Africa Pack. And find out what's really going on, folks. Don't trust the major media, that's for sure, because they are nothing but liars. So here's the toll-free number, 888-918-4100. And again, that is 888-918-4100. Excuse me. And before we get started again, I want to again extend the apologies of General, United States Air Force General Ben Parton, who originally was scheduled to be on yesterday and today due to a brain cramp, if you want to call it that. The general was not able to call in yesterday, so we will reschedule him for 2 days in a row because he's got so much material to give us, it's going to take that. So we're going to reschedule when we can have him for 2 days in a row, probably next week. But in the meantime, again, he wishes to extend his apologies to everybody who was planning on listening to him. Our guest tonight, again, is Mr. Peter Hammond from the Republic of South Africa. And let me ask you a question, Peter. Now, in my research, not only of what is happening to the people in America, to the people of Canada, to the people of the United Kingdom, to the people of Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Rhodesia and South Africa. Now, I've looked at all these areas, and we seem to have something happening in all these areas at the same time. We have a group of people who seem to want to disarm us, even in the face of heightened violence and crime. We seem to have a media in each of these areas that is completely dominated by a relatively small group of men. And we seem to have government that no longer represents the people who founded these countries, but instead represent these globalists who have an alternative agenda. Now, my question to you is do you find that to be true in your research? And if so, have you ever tried to identify the group that's behind all this?
Yes, most certainly. I've actually lost three countries if one looks at it that way. The country I was brought up in, Rhodesia, is today communist Zimbabwe. The country I fought for as a soldier, Southwest Africa, is today communist Namibia. The country of my birth, my home, where our mission has its headquarters right now, South Africa, is today under the communist terrorists that we resisted for so many years. And in each one of those three cases, we can say our armies never lost a battle. We never lost a battle. We were never beaten in war, but we lost our countries. And we can say, in the words of the Rhodesian Prime Minister, Ian Smith, we were never beaten by our enemies. We were betrayed by our friends. And that's our experience. There's something going on that's very strange in Africa. It seems that there are people who want to have Marxist dictators, or Muslim dictators for that matter, in charge of countries in Africa. They don't want responsible, pro-Western, democratic governments in power. They seem to find it easier to control or manipulate or use dictatorships. And this includes the United Nations, it includes the United States State Department, the British Foreign Office, the Organization of African Unity, and the World Council of Churches. It's extraordinary how we've seen, just take Rhodesia for example, you had the Marxist terrorists, ZANU and ZAPU, who were killing Christians, killing missionaries, planting landmines in the roads, burning down churches with congregations inside, massacring people in the most vile, vicious way, including right down to little three-week-old babies with 84 bayonet wounds in them. I mean, extraordinary violence. And these terrorists were armed and trained by the Soviets and by the Red Chinese, but they also received a lot of finance and aid from the World Council of Churches, the United Nations, and they received a massive amount of support from the U.S. State Department. And today, these Marxist mass murderers are in power, not because of the Soviets or their weaponry, but because of the machinations and intrigues of the U.S. State Department and the sanctions of the U.N. So there's something very much that doesn't make sense. Why would Western governments want to put anti-Western Marxist mass murderers into power in so many countries in Africa? And it's not just Rhodesia and Southwest Africa and South Africa where that happened. It's happened all over Africa. And wherever I've gone in my missionary work trying to help the persecuted church, I've seen a trend. The United Nations is on the side of the persecutors and against the persecuted. I've worked in Mozambique, communist Mozambique. I've written the book In the Killing Fields of Mozambique, documenting there. In Angola, the communist government there was beaten to a standstill by the Christian resistance forces, UNITA. They gave in to all their demands. The communist Cuban troops were sent back to Cuba. They went for elections. In came the UN, and the UN turned everything around so that there was the most vicious, abominable excuse of an election in which 10,000 people were killed in 3 days of the election in the capital city under the UN protection. 10,000 people killed in 3 days of elections, including the vice president of the UNITA Freedom Fighters. And what does the United Nations say? They declare it basically a free and fair election. What on earth is a basically free and fair election with 10,000 dead bodies around there and the vice president of the opposition party killed? So the war started again. What does the United Nations do? They blame the Christian resistance movement that's just been the victims of this mass murder in the streets, and they put them under total sanctions, forbidding the Red Cross or even missions like ours to take food or medicine or even Bibles to the Christians who are being bombed by the communist government. Now, this is extraordinary. Mercenaries can be fighting for the communist government. weapons can pour in to help the communist north, they can bomb the Christians in the south, but I'm not allowed to take medicines or Bibles through to the people being bombed. That's Angola. Rwanda, the United Nations, helped disarm the Christians. And once the people were disarmed, they stood back and did nothing while the government slaughtered them. 600,000 people killed in 6 weeks in Rwanda by machetes, by their own government. And gun control, gun confiscation, aided by the UN, preceded the genocide in Rwanda. And the UN stood by and did nothing. In Sudan, I've got the Muslim government persecuting our Christian brothers and bombing our mission base, and the UN forbids me to take Bibles into Sudan. And I've had UN security officials threaten me with blowing me out of the sky if I dare to take Bibles into Sudan. So in every case that I've seen in Africa, the United Nations, and I might add the US State Department, are on the side of the persecutors and not at all sympathetic or responsive to the people being persecuted. And, you know, after a while, you've got to say there's a pattern here.
I would agree with you, Peter, 100%. As far as I'm concerned, it is a communist organization. The United Nations, the World Council of Churches, and the United States State Department has been infiltrated, and it is no longer a European American Christian based people. They do not come from that group of people. They do not share the ideology and the culture that founded this nation. In fact, in the words of the Apostle John, they are antichrist. John told us in his epistle that the antichrists were already there in his day, and they are all over the place in the world today. Now, a lot of Christian people are looking for the antichrist as if it's a single man and in the future, and they are forgetting that John warned us that there are antichrists all around us. And I'll tell you, Peter, our government in this country is full of antichrists. And this State Department, the United Nations, the World Council of Churches, and many other organizations, including terrorist groups like the ADL and the JDL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, are all anti-Christ.
Well, it certainly has to be so to explain the extraordinary behavior of Western governments or foreign officers overseas. Because if you make a mistake, well, you know, we're all human, we can make mistakes. But if you make the same mistake twice, well, you're stupid. If you make the same mistake 3, 4, 5, 10 times, you've got a hidden agenda. And if we look at the situation, I mean, this may not sound very nice to say. I'm not anti-American. In fact, my wife is American, and I love America and its Christian history and heritage of your founding fathers, your Bill of Rights, your Constitution are outstanding. I'm not anti-American, but this is the kind of thing people say in Africa. It is better to be America's enemy than America's friend. If you're America's enemy, you might be bought. But if you're America's friend, you'll certainly be sold.
I'm ashamed to say it's true. I'm ashamed to say it's true, Peter. I don't know what's happened. Well, actually, that's not true. I've done the research, and I do know what's happened. And eventually, I hope to educate an awful lot of people as to what exactly happened, the subterfuge and the interlopers and the infiltrators who have snuck in amongst us that Christ, our Messiah, warned us about. The leaven of the Pharisees has crept in and taken over America as it has in Canada and as it is done in many other countries. And that is the reason behind it, because if we were truly a Christian republic as we started out, none of this nonsense would go on. The problem is that almost without firing a shot, we have been taken over, we are a conquered land, and we are no longer a Christian republic operating under a constitution as a free people. That is no longer true in America. We are a conquered land, as is our brothers in Canada, and the same treason that went to work and destroyed the three nations you mentioned in South Africa is at work today destroying free Canada and free United States. It is at work here doing exactly the same thing. They're trying to disarm us now. They've almost got our Canadian brothers disarmed. It's because they are attempting to set us up in North America to be invaded and conquered and turned over to a communist regime exactly the same way as it was done in South Africa. That's my take on it, Peter.
Well, you know, if I could give the perspective of a foreigner who studies history, and this is what we see from the African perspective. At the end of the Second World War, America helped hand over the whole of Eastern Europe into the hands of the Soviet Union, into the hands of Stalin, and that was what was agreed at Yalta. Churchill and Roosevelt agreed at Yalta to hand over the whole of Eastern Europe to Joseph Stalin, and General Patton, who could have easily got to Berlin before the Russians, and in fact way beyond it, he was deliberately stopped, and he was forced to even withdraw from Czechoslovakia, where he had liberated Prague. No, that's for the Russians. And the American army even prevented him from getting fuel to make his third army stop so that the Russians could take over East Germany and Poland before he got there. And it was just abominable. Operation Keel Hall, the handing over of millions of Russian refugees and Cossacks who were in the West over to Stalin, most of whom died in vicious labor camps in the Soviet Union. So there was a betrayal at the end of Eastern Europe, end of the Second World War. And when I've traveled around Eastern Europe ministering from Poland and north to Albania and the south, I found the people in Eastern Europe well know about Yalta and the betrayal of the West. And they say the Second World War was meant to start to free Poland from Nazism, and it ended up with the whole of Eastern Europe being handed over to a totalitarian dictatorship, every bit as evil as that the Nazis were. I mean, communism under Stalin was every bit as bad as Nazism under Hitler. And then what happened after that? At the end of the Second World War, the U.S. Army was preparing to invade Japan, and it had pre-positioned a vast amount of ordnance and weaponry and rations at Okinawa. But after the atom bomb and the surrender of Japan, what happened to all those supplies and munitions? They were given to Mao Tse-tung, the communist leader in China. Not given to Chiang Kai-shek, who's the American ally, the Christian. No, given to the communist leader. The U.S. State Department betrayed Chiang Kai-shek and handed over China effectively into the hands of the Soviet ally, Mao Tse-tung. The same thing could be said for over in Cuba. You had Batista. He was betrayed, an American ally, and Cuba was handed over to Castro. You had the same thing in Nicaragua. You had an ally in Somoza, and yet Nicaragua was betrayed into the hands of the Sandinistas, vicious, violent dictators. The Shah of Iran was betrayed for the Ayatollah. Rhodesia, you had Ian Smith and then Bishop Muzorewa betrayed, and Rhodesia was handed over into the hands of Robert Mugabe. Time and again, we're seeing a pattern here. The U.S. seems to have a policy of appease our enemies and betray our friends.
Well, Peter, I hate to tell you this, but it's called treason, and it's called wolves in sheep's clothing. Our government is treasonous today, and it cannot be said any other way. There's no sense trying to sugarcoat it. We have traitors in our State Department. We've had traitors in there for a long time, clear back to World War I. We have had, and that is why these things, these atrocities, and don't forget, Peter, the same thing is happening in the Balkans today. The same scenario that you're talking about is happening to the white Christian Serbs in the Balkans, are being slaughtered and being told to disarm, and they can't fight and defend themselves so that Muslims and Antichrist can have dominion over there, when the Albanians are drug dealers and prostitution dealers, and they're given basically a free rein while the Christian white Serbs are basically handcuffed, and we allow this to happen under the auspices of the United Nations, which the whole United Nations should be disbanded, and the United Nations building should be dynamited and bulldozed right into the ocean. That's what needs to be done, unfortunately, until our Heavenly Father intervenes himself, I think. It's not going to happen because not enough people know what the truth is today. But unfortunately, that explains it, Peter. We have treason, the same kind of treason that overthrew your governments and turned the once peaceful, relatively peaceful, prosperous, and productive countries that you grew up in. The same thing is happening here. We have treason at work, and a group of people with a hidden agenda, And I'll tell you another thing, Peter, that I'm really disgusted with, and that is the Christian clergy in the United States of America that kowtow to the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches, which are communist leading organizations, and most of the ministers in this country today don't say a word in their pulpits on Sunday about what's going on around the world. All these atrocities, they don't even talk about it, they don't get involved in it, and I consider that an outrageous thing that these pulpits are silent when this kind of massacring of people is going on.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as the Lord said, whatever you did not do unto one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And to know the good that we ought to do and to fail to do it is sin. And all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Now, if we say Jesus is Lord, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that means he is Lord over all areas of life. And it is outrageous that many Christians want to restrict their faith to their church and to Sunday morning and not to take it into every day of the week, into every area of life. Listen, the word believe, it comes from the Old English word believe. It means what you live by. And that's the etymology of the word. Your beliefs are what you live by, believe. And for people to say that they don't allow their religious beliefs to interfere with their politics, well, then it's not beliefs at all. It's not affecting everyday life. It is not your belief. And we need to be consistent with our faith, and the Christian faith needs to speak up for those who are suffering. It needs to speak up for the widows and the orphans. It needs to speak against evil. We need to weigh tyrants in the balances and see if they are wanting in terms of biblical law. And so, as Christians, what is the Great Commission? Our Lord Jesus said we are to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Not just disciples of individuals, but disciples of nations. And we've got to teach obedience to everything the Lord has commanded. We can't leave education in the hands of the pagans. You can't let the Philistines bring up your children. Education is a task of the church. It's a responsibility of the parents. We must have this in the hands of the community. We can't let governments control education. You cannot entrust the molding of the minds of the future voters into the hands of the politicians. They will abuse it. And so we as Christians need to take the Great Commission seriously again and apply the Lordship of Christ in all areas of life. We've got to take control of the education of the next generation. And I see hope for the future in America as long as the churches will preach the whole counsel of God, the whole law of God, and apply to all areas of life. If we can keep our weapons, then we can maybe keep our freedoms. If we will take control of the education of the next generation, if the Christian radio stations and independent newsletters will courageously speak out against these issues, if Christians will register to vote and get out and vote and never waste their vote on pro-abortion humanists, but only entrust their vote to pro-lifers and pro-constitutional people who value freedom and will speak up for your allies overseas, then I have hope that you may win back your freedoms in the States. But if this is not done, then honestly, America will become a slave state.
I agree with you, Peter. I got a question I want to ask you. We only got about 4 minutes and 5 minutes left. Is there a way people can get a hold of you personally, or should they go through the toll-free number for the information?
Yes, people can certainly get hold of me. Through the toll-free number would be a start, but folks could write to me in South Africa at P.O. Box 74, Newlands. That's N-E-W-L-A-N-D-S. The zip is 7725, South Africa. So it's P.O. Box 74, Newlands, 7725, Cape Town, South Africa. That's my address. You can address it to me, Peter Hammond, and I can respond to direct letters that way. People can also email me, and my email number is frontfell, that's short for Frontline Fellowship, F-R-O-N-T-F-E-L, frontfell at gem.co.za. So frontfell at gem.co.ca, and it's Peter Hammond, and if folks want to contact me that way, that's the best way. I'm afraid I'm not by phone for the next while. I travel a bit too much.
Right. Let me get that email address. Let me run to it, and you tell me if it's correct. Front Fell is together, F-R-O-N-T-F-E-L, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and then that's at gem, G-E-M?
Yes.
Oh, okay, gem.co.za.
That's it.
Okay, folks, and again, that's front cell at golfechomotel.charlieomega.zulualpha. Okay, so we got that straight. I'd imagine you're going to get a few emails. I know you'll get some from me from time to time. This has been wonderful. I'll tell you, you've got a lot of great information here, Peter. I'm sure glad the general recommended you coming on tonight. Before we get off the air, let me give that toll-free number that folks can call for the newsletter videos or the Africa Pack in order to find out what's really going on, because that's what we must do today, Peter. We must have accurate information instead of the controlled media propaganda that so many of us are fed. The toll-free number, folks, is 888-918-4100. And again, that's 888-918-4100 for information, the newsletter, videos, etc. The books you've written, can they order those through that toll-free number, Peter?
Yes, certainly. I've written Faith Under Fire in Sudan, which is a big book, 230 pages, 140 pictures, 7 maps, giving the full story on Sudan, which is really one of the biggest stories out there now. The largest country in Africa with the worst persecution in the world today, with the longest war of the 20th century. Holocaust in Rwanda, which people who want to know what gun control and the UN can do need to read the Holocaust in Rwanda. In the killing fields of Mozambique is an example of what communism does in a country in Africa. And then we've got the video from Jeremiah Films, Sudan, the Hidden Holocaust. It is an excellent 55-minute documentary showing everything from the slavery, the persecution, the bombing of churches and hospitals. And you can show that in churches or home fellowships, and it will really open people's eyes as to what is going on in Sudan. It exposed both the UN's abominable role and what the Sudan Islamic government is doing. And most important, the positive story of what the Christians are doing in spite of it. It's a positive story when you look at Sudan. We're not giving up in Africa. We are standing, we are fighting, we are standing firm in our faith. And the church in Sudan is experiencing a revival amidst persecution and even winning Muslim persecutors to Christ.
That's amazing. I'll tell you, you got about 60 minutes left if you wanted to have one last minute there to say anything to the folks.
Yes, please don't give up on us in Africa. There are many Christians there. The church is growing 6 million a year net gain. Many thousands of churches planted every year in Africa. And although there's a lot of persecution and suffering, yet we're seeing tremendous growth. And what's going on is where sin increased, God's grace increased much more. Do not give up on Africa. There is a tremendous amount going on there. And we're fighting the same enemies. The same enemies who are trying to take away your freedoms are trying to take away ours. It's the United Nations. It's the State Department, the one worlders, the people who want a one world government and a one world religion. They're the people who are threatening our freedoms and yours. And if we can unite together and support one another, I believe we can win. And it's just so important we do not lose our vision and our hope. There is a problem, but because we have a sovereign God, there is hope, and we must not give up. We must do everything we can to build up the next generation in the faith of our fathers and in the scriptures. And if we do that, I believe truly we can see a new dawn in the future, and these tyrants, God will overthrow.
Amen to that. Peter Hammond, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Pastor John.
Okay, you take care, and we ask his blessing to be upon you. Okay, folks, we're almost out of time. Again, I'll remind you that Pastor Don Campbell from Minnesota will be filling in for me tomorrow night, and then the next two nights will be Mr. Fearless Jim Floyd from Alabama will be filling in with some of his guests, and that sounds like those three programs ought to be fantastic. So tune in for Pastor Don Campbell again tomorrow night and Jim Floyd on Thursday and Friday night here on Heritage, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope you enjoyed tonight's program. And again, General Ben Parton will be with us, if all goes well, next week for two nights in a row with some tremendous information about the Communist Third International. And as Peter said, it's time for us to stand tall in the name of our Yeshua Messiah, and don't give up. It's time for the fight. It's time to raise a standard. It's time to stop giving up and going backwards. It's time to draw a line in the sand. So stay strong. Stay with the Father. Keep your powder dry.
Let my spirit praise you. I've not forsaken.